You know what, Sam?
What?
As John Forslund once said, the Carolina Hurricanes are on their way to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yes, indeed.
Coming to you from the heart of Canes country, this is the Caniac Report. Your number one source for everything Carolina Hurricanes. Hot takes, predictions, game analysis, and NHL news. And now your hosts, Sam Wallace and Sam Driscoll.
All right, we're back with another episode of the Caniac Report. And Sam, we have a loss and a win. Overall, I'm mostly pretty happy with the Hurricanes' performance so far. The Aho line continues to be elite. But we'll get to more of that soon later in this episode. First things first, like we usually do, Sam, we start with the podcast news. And we have a great partnership with SeatGeek. You get $20 off of your first purchase at SeatGeek, whether it's to a Hurricanes game or not. It's a great deal. I would use it. And there's also a link for donations in all of our episode descriptions. So if you feel like you want to help and give, there is a link. So there's that, and that's pretty much it. Well, actually, one more thing for podcast news, Sam. We have 1,500 followers on Twitter. Cool. / X.
Nice.
I saw that.
Well.
Yeah. So congrats to us, I guess, for getting 1,500. And thank you guys for following us. It's crazy how many followers we have on X, Sam. Really yes. Is. Now we're going to get to some NHL news. And Sam, I really think this is just such a great story going into Arizona land here. But Arizona calls up Josh Doan. And he is the son of legendary Coyote Shane Doan. And for those who don't know Shane Doan, he was a huge deal. He was the face of the organization, the captain for Arizona, or Phoenix, I think, back then.
Yeah, I don't know if they were ever Arizona under him. They may have been briefly toward the end.
Yeah, because his last season was the 2016-2017 season. But he had a huge career over there. He was the face of the team. And his son, who was playing pretty good in 62 games in the AHL, 26 goals, 20 assists. They bring him up, and his first two games, he gets his two goals. Not one, but two.
That's good for them. It's good for the organization.
Yes, it really is. And they need all the young talent they can get. They already have, I think, a very good prospect pool and players coming into their own, like Logan Cooley. Clayton Keller continues to be a great player for them. And Dylan Gunther seems to be a good goal scorer. So lots of good young pieces. And you have Nick Schmaltz in there too, Lawson Krause. So, yeah, good for Arizona there. The next piece of news, Sam, I don't know if you remember, we talked about this several episodes ago, maybe like a couple months ago, basically. But Washington Capitals are going to remain in Washington and not moving to Virginia. Apparently, a couple of lawmakers opposed the move to Alexandria, Virginia.
I also saw something about their contract with the current stadium. They weren't able to get out of that.
Yeah, because it lasts till 2050, I believe. Now, there's a whole article on The Athletic.
But we're not a Capitals really podcast, delves so into, you can go read it yourself.
Yeah, it delves a lot more into that. I agree, we are not a Capitals podcast, but that's part of something we like to see in the NHL news. And Sam, the last piece of NHL news I do want to talk about is they announced the official date for the playoffs, April 20th. And from the teams that we might be facing in the first round, it seems like no matter what, every team's going to get a reset, which is what I like. Don't you?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. All right. Being pretty straightforward here.
I'm tired. Okay. It's a late game. It was a 7:30 start, man.
Yes, it was. I completely agree with you there. But yeah, April 20th, I think that's good. Every team gets pretty much a reset. Yep. They don't have to go into it just after.
And I feel like we never get like
season game.
And I feel like we never get game one or two at home on a weekend.
Oh, I know. That's going to be so nice.
And it's going to be like the first time like we get the weekend game. And I'm like, thank God.
Because the 20th is a Saturday. Yep. 21st is a Sunday. We're going to get at least one of those days.
Theoretically,
I'm hoping it's 20th. I really am. Because it'd just be easier for podcasting reasons. But.
Well, I mean, if it's on the 21st, it could be early, too.
It could,
Be, it could be like a noon game or something like that.
Yes, definitely. So that is the date. And Sam, just sticking at the point of playoffs here. Hurricanes have officially clinched the playoffs for the sixth straight year in a row. And yeah, that is a great, great accomplishment from Dundon all the way to Brendan Moore, even though I would say Brendan Moore has more to do with that than Dundon does.
Well, yep, they have done it again. As always, it's great to see that they continue to do it. I know there was a lot of doubts by me, by you, toward the beginning of the season where it was looking like, you know, we're a 500 team. Maybe we were going to go the way of the Devils. We did not. They figured it out. This team is too good to not figure it out. So that was good to see. A lot of questions surrounding the coaching staff. A lot of questions surrounding management. I think all right questions at the time, given what was going on. But they figured it out. Had a players only meeting and we're like, hey guys, we gotta let's get this
yeah, together. It was on that Western
yep.
Canadian road trip back in December.
Yep.
And to be honest, I mean, looking back on it, and I think I've said this maybe a couple times too, when the Hurricane from the start of the season to the end of that Canadian road trip, the Hurricanes weren't really playing Hurricanes hockey. They were still playing decent, but they just weren't playing Hurricanes hockey. And it was after that team only meeting. And they were able to turn it around. And that first game they were able to show that they've turned it around was against Ottawa. So they haven't slowed down since. They've been playing very good hockey since, Sam. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy they were able to get that stuff or get rid of that sloppiness before, I would say, half the midpoint of the season. So I'd rather have at the beginning than later.
Yeah. And that's fine because a lot of times Carolina started out hot and then they got sloppy at the end. So yes. And this is the inverse of that. I'm fine with it. The real question is for the playoffs, Sam, are we going to do what we did last year? Are we covering each individual game?
We'll talk about that. Off camera.
Off camera.
No, sorry. Camera? Sorry. No camera.
So where's the camera?
Off mic. Don't worry, you are not on candid camera, Sam. Trust me. But we'll let you guys know before the playoffs start the schedule of what our episodes are going to be. It's Sam and I are going to discuss it. That's all. But that's all for that. But, so Hurricanes have clinched the playoffs. I'm very happy. Wasn't as emotional, Sam, as the first time they did it against New Jersey under Brendan Moore, because I was really emotional during that time. But it still feels great knowing that we've clinched. Really does. And the next piece of news, Sam, this is happened at practice, but Corey Lavallette, I mean, He reported, and he's been on the podcast before, Rod Brendan Moore had a one-on-one with Svechnikov that Corey Lavallette saw at practice. And to me, that is encouraging because we know Svech. I mean, he's kind of going through a little bit of something. I do wonder if he's 100%. But I will say, Sam, I thought he looked a lot better against Detroit. I did. Yeah, he was on a new line, obviously. So hopefully that kind of sparks some offense and Svech with having new line mates. So
I like the line. I think maybe Jordan Staal gives him some accountability. Maybe he needed that. Because he needs something. Because he continues to take retaliatory stupid penalties. In fact, he got away with one tonight.
Yes,
To be frankly honest, he got away with one. It's like, dude, why are you even upset? We're up 4-0. Like, grow up. No need for that. So, you know, maybe him being on the stall line will help. You know, having the captain there, you know, might be good for him. So I'm fine. with that being the case. And Stahl held his own. I mean, that line did very well. I had no problem with the Lions tonight.
Yeah. I was under suspicion when I first saw the Lions, but I was like, you know what? At the end of that game, I was like, all the Lions I thought played really good. So, yeah. The next piece of Hurricanes news, this is more on the prospect side, but Scott Morrow, who plays for UMass in the NCAA, his season has ended, meaning that there might be a signing, there might not be a signing of Scott Morrow because he's considered, I would say probably a blue chip prospect, top four potential. But yet, I also probably favor someone who has used their primary job is scouting prospects than my perspective on a prospect.
Scott Morrow, it's called the Black Ace.
Yeah, Black Ace.
You have him, and at that point, you have to question, you know, because you can have injuries. So what if two guys go down? So first it's Tony, rightfully so. It's Tony D'Angelo going into the roster. He's got NHL experience. But after that, are you comfortable with Coughlin, or would you prefer, or comfortable with the other gentleman, the other guy we brought in from
Ty Smith.
Smith. So we have him, or would you rather have Scott Morrow as another option?
I'd probably do Ty Smith because he has the experience. And I just don't think, Scott Morrow hasn't proved.
Is it Morrow or Coughlin then? Who would you have, Morrow or Coughlin?
I do Smith.
Well, Smith, you can have multiple injuries in the playoffs.
Probably Coughlin, because he has NHL experience. I just wouldn't put a rookie out there if you're trying to win the Stanley Cup.
Not if you can help it. Yeah, I think that's fair.
So, that's my thing. I think if you could put maybe an argument for Morrow out there, but it's such a huge leap. I just don't know if the kid could handle it. Now, if this was like Nikishkin, then yeah, I'd do it because he is considered one of the top prospects in the league right now. I think he could possibly handle it. But for Morrow, different situation. I just can't really see it. So yeah, that's pretty much all for Hurricanes news, Sam. We went by that pretty quickly, but yet this was a late game. So we are trying to go by this a little bit quickly than usual, but that's all. Now we're going to get to the games, but before we do, let's get to our sponsor. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boo Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 24. All rights reserved. Okay, the Hurricane games. First, Sam, we do have to discuss the loss against Pittsburgh here. Now, first period, I'm just going to flat out say it. I didn't think the Hurricanes were good. Now, I don't think you watched the first period.
I did not get to watch until the third.
Until the third, okay.
Well, so I can't really speak too much on the Penguins game.
So the first period, I thought the Hurricanes were actually a lot more sloppier than the second or third periods because I thought after, it was Puljujärvi, former Hurricane Puljujärvi scores to make it 1-0 for Pittsburgh, Sam. And I thought it was after that goal where I actually thought the Hurricanes were able to kind of get some momentum there. But they weren't really threatening with their shots either. You have lots of former a couple of former Hurricanes, Puljujärvi and Michael Bunting, too, and Alex Nedeljkovic, who did play for Pittsburgh. Seems like he's doing pretty good mostly as a goalie for Pittsburgh. I mean, he seems like he's playing pretty well against us whenever we play Pittsburgh. But Puljujärvi, he makes it 1-0. But then Sam Orlov scores in the Penguins game. Great shots. I believe we actually had some bodies in front on that goal. And that was kind of, I think, the theme. I mean, Carolina was good, but I just didn't think a lot of their shots were very dangerous on Nedeljkovic. And Brian Rust scores right from a faceoff to make it 2-1. And then the third period starts, and that's when you started watching the game. And we were thinking maybe Hurricanes could tie it. Maybe they could. But when we pulled our goalie, Drew O'Connor was able to score. He had all the speed against, I think it was Burns that tried to catch the puck at the blue line. But Drew O'Connor, man, speedy guy.
He came in and scored. And it, really at the end of the day, I wasn't as upset about this loss as I thought I would be. And a lot of it has to do with, I have a lot of respect for Sidney Crosby.
And he scored two on an empty net.
Yeah. And I feel for that organization. And I feel for Sidney Crosby, right? Doesn't sound like he was really consulted a whole heck of a lot on their deadline moves, and they more or less decided to give up. Because you would think, you know, if you're going to go all in for Crosby, you keep Jake, right? You don't trade him. So, you know, when they get wins, even if it's against us right now, like, I don't view them as a threat anymore. I just feel sorry that Crosby's in a situation where it's not a winning culture anymore, right? I mean, all that's left there is really, it's Crosby, Malkin, and Letang. And I have immense respect for all three of those guys. I don't have a lot of respect for Ovechkin because I think he's a dirty player. And Crosby can dive, too. I mean, let's be honest, he does, but He's the greatest player of the generation you and I grew up watching hockey. He's the greatest player of that generation by far. There is no
one. I think, but there's a different generation now.
Sure, but we grew up with Crosby.
We did.
And
Crosby and Ovechkin, they were the top two players in the league.
So when you have someone like Crosby and Malkin and Letang, and you know, and they get a tough, gritty win like they did against us, a clearly superior opponent, and we are better than them. You know, just, you know, I applaud them, right? I mean, again, I said at the beginning of the season, and I mean, I ended up being wrong. I said I'm not willing to bet against Sidney Crosby and the Penguins because I do think they're a better team, even better than Washington. I mean, maybe for them it might be a time for a coaching change. I don't know. I mean, there's changes coming to that team at the end of the season.
Well,
for
sure. I mean, Dubas tried to actually put some spark into the Penguins by getting
Eric Carlson. Yeah.
And it just didn't work. And I think at this point, Dubas is accepting this team needs to go into a rebuild. He didn't want picks, so we gave him prospects for Guentzel.
I don't think he's wanting to rebuild as much as retool. So I think there's going to be more of a retooling. They don't want a slow rebuild, which is why he wanted prospects. Right? He doesn't want to throw darts at the dartboard and start from scratch. He wants to start a couple of steps then. And I think that makes sense. What shocks me is we didn't have to give up Morrow or, you know, Unger Sorum or Nadeau, like one of our actual top prospects. You know, Jackson Blake, I think, is another guy. So,
yep. Mm-hmm.
But look, props to Pittsburgh for a solid win. I don't hate that organization, and I don't hate Crosby, Malkin, or Letang.
Well, it helps. It helps not to hate a team like Pittsburgh when they're kind of already down and out.
Yeah,
and this is the first time of Crosby and the core experiencing failure.
Well, they failed last year. They didn't make the playoffs.
Well, yes.
They should have made the playoffs.
But I think they realize that management's kind of waving the white flag here.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't, again, I said, I don't like Ovechkin and I don't respect Ovechkin. Again, I think he's dirty and I don't think he's very classy of a player, but I respect and admire Crosby because I think he's all class. Great guy. I mean, when Tripp was going through his difficult time, one of the guys that reached out to him in his own, you know, Tripp's own story was Sidney Crosby. So a lot of respect for him. I do feel sorry for him having to deal with this because he's a classy player, one of the greats. And it's just an unfortunate situation in Pittsburgh. So, you know, good for them for getting a win against a very good team. You know, that's going to bring some life to their locker room. So good for them. I mean, seriously, good for Crosby. He's a great hockey player. Like, you can't sleep on Pittsburgh. That's a mistake to do that. And Carolina did, and they make you pay.
Yeah, yeah, they did. And, I mean, I'm with you. I'm not really worried about this game either. I still think Carolina's a really good team. You can't overreact to one game. Hurricanes are not going to win every game. They're just not. And they didn't. First time they lost a regulation since the Rangers game. So I consider that pretty good on a larger scale of things. So that's it for the Penguins game. And also, Sam, another thing too is, I mean, Jake Guentzel, he was interviewed after the game. And apparently, from what I've heard, I think Adam Gold said this too, is that he says he loves it in Carolina. So maybe that's an extension. I don't know.
What else?
I'm not going to read. I know.
What else are you going to say? I don't like it here? No.
Exactly. But I mean.
But why wouldn't he? But also, like Adam said, why wouldn't he like it? He keeps getting like 2-3 point nights. I mean, yeah, he's happy. He's not scoring goals, but I don't care. If Seth Jarvis is the one popping him in the net and Guentzel's the one feeding him.
And Aho.
I don't care. Like, I don't need Guentzel to score a bunch of goals. I just need a shoot first mentality guy because a lot of times we've not had that on that first line. And I think we've got it. One, I think Jarvis is a shoot first kind of guy now, which is great. He's got almost 30 goals.
Aho can be a first shoot guy that we're seeing recently in his game.
I would still say he's probably more of that playmaker than he is that elite, and I would say an elite playmaker at that. But yeah, I mean, look, if Jarvis is going to turn,
I think he's a two-way forward in my opinion because Aho is really good defensively. I think too.
I don't view him as a maybe as a two-way forward slash elite playmaker.
Okay, yeah,
I think Seth is the power forward. I think Jarvis is starting to turn into maybe a sniper. Think Marty St. Louis-ish kind of player because they're
similar styles. He reminds me of Braden Point. Actually. Yeah,
maybe Braden Point. Got Guentzel, who's another goal scorer. So
yes, definitely. So yeah, that's pretty much it for the Pittsburgh game and. Now, the next game is the Detroit game. Took me a while to recognize
because I keep coughing into the mic. I'm sorry, I'm distracting you.
Yes, I'm writing time markers because I'm trying to make the editing easy.
I apologize if any get through to our listeners. I have bad allergies, so it's not been fun. Pollen is very mean.
Okay, let's get to the Detroit game. Great game throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Really did. I thought Carolina was the better team.
We were dominant in the first, offensively and defensively. You don't allow, four shots on goal in the whole first period?
Three
shots on goal in the whole first period? Yeah, that says a lot about your defensive game. And the Carolina is about one of the best shot. We are a shot suppression team, and we are a take a lot of shots team, which is kind of amazing. Is, you know, we suppress a lot and we shoot a lot, and I think that's this formula. Look, what this team
analytics
has,
loves that.
And I'll be honest, what this team has lacked the last 5 years in the playoffs has been having all of the needs, right? As having everything all the Stanley Cup winners in the past have had, right? A solid guy who can put the puck in the net. We've got it now that we got two and Jarvis and Guentzel. Having an elite defense, we've always had that, but defense, in my opinion, I know a lot of people say defense wins championships. Well, it doesn't only win championships. You can't score. If you lose 1-0, your defense was very good, but your offense dried up. And then solid goaltending. I think Carolina has had wishy-washy goaltending in some of these years with Mrazek and McElhinney.
Nedeljkovic is one.
Yeah, so you've had a couple of years where it's been a little, you know, like Mrazek had some times where he was shaky.
But Anderson is definitely playing amazing.
And hockey. I don't think you could blame Anderson or Raanta in any of these past play the last two seasons since they've been playoff goaltenders. I don't blame them.
And it was in the third period where I kept poking at you, being like, hey, you know what I'm thinking right now?
No, we don't talk about it.
Oh, that was so much funny. You're more concerned about the shutout, Sam, than I am.
You have to understand.
Because I was like, I just want to win, whether it's 4-1 or 4-0. I just want the win.
But you
covet that shutout.
That's because I'm a goalie. I play goalie. I mean, that's what the position I played on ice when I did, or street, or whatever. I strapped on the pads, so to get the shutout means a lot for a goaltender. So it's great for Freddie. And let me put it this way. It means a lot for a goalie who a lot of people, including you, including me, weren't convinced he was going to come back and be able to play. And even if he came back, weren't convinced he would be able to play to the point where he would continue to do this. He hasn't lost yet, right? I think he's 7-0. Like, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Well, he kind of proved to me a little bit when he shut out Florida.
Yeah. And let's be clear. I think there may have been a conversation about Kochetkov and about Anderson. And maybe you can still have this conversation. But if we continue to get this Freddie Anderson down the stretch, I don't think you can justify not starting him game one.
Exactly.
Now, if you start Kochetkov game, I don't think you have a wrong choice here. But if you want to talk about earning your start, Freddie has earned the start. And I would honestly say Kochetkov's looked more shaky over the last couple of starts he's had. He hasn't been bad.
No,
but he hasn't been, like, elite. Freddie has been elite. Like,
well, Kochetkov's been elite. It's just he's had leaps where he goes from elite to being a starter goalie. I would say that there's a separation between a starter and an elite goalie. And I think he kind of bounced in between those time after time recently in his games. But he's overall, I think, at least a starting goalie. When it comes to Kochetkov.
No, Kochetkov's going to be the starter, and I honestly think he'll be the starter next year, or at least there'll be a rotation. Like we're doing now, you're going to get this next year. This is,
I think, a
foreshadowing of next year. You're going to have, it's going to be Kochetkov, Anderson, Martin is your minor league goalie, and then you'll have Perret. So those are going to be your four goalies next year. Yeah. And I think that's great. That's perfect, because Martin has been a great find. And then you have Perret, who's going to be an NHL goaltender.
Right? Well, he might. I don't know. I
think he'll be
goalies an NHL goaltender.
You don't, I just don't, you don't go out and win a championship and then you're a bust. So I think he's going to be fine. I think Perret's comes, and he's probably going to play in the American Hockey League next year, because I think we'll have a team next year. At least they keep telling us we're going to have a team next year. So he'll probably be the goalie there. Well, and we'll have a really good shot to see. It'll be him and Martin and Perret's. And I'm hoping they'll, you know, 1A, 1B them too, like rotate and give Perret's a lot of starts. Because, you know, their goal is for Perret's to eventually probably be the backup to Kochetkov or to have the 1A, 1B with two young goaltenders who really take over the system. And if not, if Perret's is still decent enough, that's trade bait.
Yeah, maybe. It's just goalies are really hard to pin down.
Sure.
Because, I mean, championship or bust. We might see that with Vegas. St. Louis, I know, is only like maybe 6 points behind Vegas, but, I mean, don't count. Actually, Vegas did win tonight, so Vegas will probably be in the playoffs, but still, you never know with a team. I mean, look at us the year after we won the Stanley Cup. I don't think we made the playoffs, so.
No, we did not. Look, if we win the Stanley Cup this year and we miss the playoffs next year, I will be okay. Like, I will be okay. Like, I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm going to be like, you know what? We won the Stanley Cup. If we take a year off, okay, fine with me. I don't care. I want a Stanley Cup. I can float on that.
I don't think that's going to go well in Tom Dundon's mind.
Well, no, I think, and to be 100% honest, I don't think that happens with this team, because no matter what, I think you've got a core here, because even if you lose all of your UFAs, you could bring back all of your RFAs and still have a really solid core.
Yes, I do agree there. The Detroit game, I mean, it's just another great example of that Aho line being just dominant. Aho scores the first goal from Gensel. What a great pass.
Yep.
Aho does make a good entry and a pass to Jarvis on the power play goal because Aho really carried that puck into the offensive zone. And then you have Netchess scoring from a beautiful pass from Kuznetsov. And then you have Shea scoring, just kind of being like, hey, here's my beer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. So, I mean, great win, great shutout for Anderson. And I had skepticism a little bit when I saw the new lines out there, but it worked out.
I would too. But I think, I mean, at this point, it's like, okay. But the reality is, right now, how the lines are constructed, if I'm taking someone out, I mean, to be honest with you,
in my opinion,
I don't know if I take anybody out if when Faust is there. Not with how they played tonight. I think you let it roll again. I mean, I guess you could take Jake out.
But you're probably going to lose the game before.
Well, I mean, sure.
Now in the playoffs.
I think you have a good problem. Right? You're going to have two forwards who can play in the NHL as extras. You're going to have Tony. You got Martin in the minors. You know, you can carry, I think, a couple more guys in the playoffs as their black aces, right? Which will be Spencer Martin, which will be
Ty Smith.
Probably Ty Smith. Yeah, Lemieux. You're going to have Tony. You're going to have Lemieux already. You're going to have KK or Faust or Nason or Drury. One of those guys will probably not be playing. So you're going to have a good problem.
Oh, yeah.
As a forward group, you have a good problem.
And you know what? If I see Lemieux on the ice, I'm completely fine because he's been great.
He's been great. He's defensive. Minded, he's tough, he's gritty, he is not going to take it. So if you have
I wouldn't mind playing him.
Well, if you have a series
like Florida,
yeah, a series like Florida or a series like New York, when you need a little grit, you want to throw Lemieux out on the ice for a game, like in Madison Square Gardens. If you feel you're not getting enough from that fourth line, you can always let any of those wingers sit down.
Yeah,
it's fine,
definitely.
Right, you let Faust take a seat for a game, throw Lemieux out there, or let, you know, yeah, Faust take a seat. You know, I mean, Lemieux can provide time and space. He's a good guy, gap control guy. You know, he's going to take a hit to make a play and go out and throw the body around. So, you know, you can just deploy a lot of weapons.
Yes, you can. So, yeah, and currently, Sam, I am a UNC fan, and they're winning right now. 55-50. So, right now, as we're recording,
who?
UNC's winning. I'm so happy. I know you're a Duke fan.
Mean, yeah, but I have a dollar on either Duke or Carolina wins the title. So, and if they do, I will win $100. So, I don't care.
Of course.
And I have my bracket at work has UNC.
But we might have some listeners fall off because I know. Carolina, majority of their fans are state fans, but you know, I don't have a problem with state. I really don't. It's Duke I hate. So that's just a circle of life of me when it comes to sports. So yeah, that is all for this episode, and we will see you guys Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Kaniac Report. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. Can't get enough of the Kaniac Report? For more content or to connect with the Sams, check them out on Instagram and Twitter at the Kaniac Report. We'll see you next time.